Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It really is, and we are halfway home here on a Thursday, kind of a humid Thursday, here in downtown San Francisco. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky.
We are this
fired
humidity.
Up. I know, it's like East Coast weather. What's going on here?
I don't like it.
No.
Yesterday it was so muggy and hot, and then it started raining out of nowhere.
It's almost like we are becoming Jacksonville over here.
No.
Because
no,
this is
no.
The same weather as Jacksonville, Florida.
Except crank
hot,
it up 20 more.
Humid, minutes. And we just need alligators just roaming the streets, right?
Yeah, I'm good off that.
I just assume that's what happened. I've never been to Florida, so I just assume alligators.
No, that's about right.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Hey, went to college down in Miami. So basically the same thing, right? Jacksonville, Miami. I'm kidding.
Well, one's civilized and the other is Jacksonville.
Oh, there you go. The U, number two, right?
Sam, you are just.
He's on fire. He's on fire.
Wow.
By the way,
I'm like the weather cooking.
The 49ers are on fire. Give you a two for that one. 3-0.
Two like
they're awaiting
dude, how
the Jaguars.
Are the women not all over you? I mean, just you are just a ball of fun today.
He is. It's the hair. He's like Samson, though. I think if he cuts his hair off, then Sam no longer becomes Sam. He's Samuel Lubman at that point. You'll never be back to Sammy Lubman.
Well, Samson still got his strength back anyway, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Right. It worked out for him.
He worked out. It's working out for the Niners right now. They're 3-0. Mac Jones looking good. Maybe he plays again this week. Who knows? Matt Lively said it's a trap game. I don't know if it could be a trap game if you just lost Nick Bosa. You might not have your starting quarterback. I don't think the 49ers, and this is why a big reason they are 3-0, Joe, they're not taking anyone lightly. They understood last year that coming off a Super Bowl loss, they can't just waltz into a season and win off talent alone. Talent alone does not win you games. If that was the case, hell, the dream team of the Philadelphia Eagles, that Vince Young dubbed them, they would have won the Super Bowl off names and talent alone. And they didn't. They were a dumpster fire. That team didn't even make the playoffs, right? There have been more talented teams that have not gone all the way or gotten to the playoffs for whatever reason. But this team right now is winning because of their head coach, because of their defensive coordinator, because guys stepping up all over the field, because of D. Winters looking great, because of Fred Warner doing what he does. D'Amour Lenore, I haven't even heard his name called during a broadcast, I think. He's been just shutting down the field whenever he's out there. And you look at offensively, they can't even run the ball. And you know what? Christian McCaffrey's like, sure, I can't run it. All right. I'll just be a wide receiver and be like a number two wide receiver on the team. Be a top 15 wide receiver if you're just going off yards and get the receptions there. And they've kind of supplemented it that way. And yes, Connor Colby stepping up for Ben Bartsch. He's got a groin injury. That has to do with it. Not having your blocking tight end, your Hall of Fame tight end, George Kittle out there. That has something to do with it. But despite it all, they are 3-0 and they are playing the Jaguars this week. And a guy that has been bestowed upon us at a young age as the next greatest quarterback hasn't quite lived up to those expectations, and it's Trevor Lawrence. He was a part of that infamous draft class, that infamous quarterback draft class in 2021. He goes number one overall. Zach Wilson goes number two. Trey Lance goes number three. Justin Fields goes 9, 10, something like that to the Bears. And then you got Mac Jones to the New England Patriots. And he's the only one that has stayed on his original team, Trevor Lawrence. Now, he had Urban Meyer to start off, and we just referenced all the things that were wrong with Urban Meyer in the NFL. He had Doug Peterson, and in a year of stability with Doug Peterson, they did go to the playoffs, had one of the greatest comebacks we've ever seen in the playoffs against the Chargers, was serviceable against the Chiefs, and then they kind of flamed out since then, and now Doug Peterson's gone, and he's on his third head coach, and Liam Cohen, and we'll see. They're 2-1 right now. But I asked you the question, I asked Niner fans, if you were to ask Kyle Shanahan, and how would Kyle Shanahan rank these three quarterbacks? Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, on who he thinks he could be most successful with going forward.
Right now.
Right now, remove the contracts, just who he thinks he would be most successful with going forward.
I'm
going
to say Mac 3.
Okay.
I'm going to say Trevor 2, and I'm going to say Purdy 1.
Okay.
And I think that he does love a reclamation project. That's one thing I've actually admired about Kyle. He'll take on random dudes that he thinks are good, but I do think he would have to work with Trevor. That could change over time. I think he would like to work with Trevor. I feel like I'm underselling Mac and how much he likes Mac in this equation, you know, but I think he still goes with Purdy. I think there's something about Purdy's instincts that he loves. And I think his understanding of who to throw to, when to throw to them, the feel for how to play the quarterback position gives him the big edge in this one. Tools are great. But one thing I've learned with Kyle is that your tools are almost unusable if you don't have a good feel for how to play the position.
And Kyle, what he can't stand is why Jimmy Garoppolo's not here towards the end. It's just bad decision-making.
Oh, and injuries.
And for the most part, Trevor Lawrence has played for, you know, he's started most of his career games that he's been up for. Last year he was hurt, and obviously Mac Jones started a bunch of those games. He only started 10. And then prior to that, 16, 17, 17. So he's been healthy for the most part, but I feel like he is always on the injury report. Always something's bothering him, whether it's a rib, whether it's a leg. He is 6'6". Like, this is a big, strong quarterback. He probably has, and he does check all the boxes you would want in a quarterback, does he not? That's why he was the number one overall pick once upon a time. You know, I think of great quarterback prospects, and again, I'm just saying prospects, of this century, Trevor Lawrence is a part of that conversation. Right? Like, it's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I just think we overrated him as a prospect. But I hear you. He would definitely be in there. I just think overall, we really dramatically overrated how good he was.
Well, I think because it was that freshman year at Clemson. And I don't think anyone saw that coming. He was incredible. Yeah. They won the whole thing. It was at Levi Stadium, right? Is this his first time back at Levi Stadium since that game? I think it might be. I don't think the Jags have played. I think it's been in Jacksonville, right?
Niners played them at Jacksonville when Purdy threw that perfect ball down the field when he got blasted to George Kittle down the sideline. Yeah, I
think it might be. Look, you got our crack staff on in the back. 888-957-9570. By the way, you can also hit us up on YouTube where we are streaming. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And as always, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Mia O'Brien going to be joining us in about an hour at 9:20. ESPN Radio and covers the Jaguars down in Jacksonville, so we'll get the lay of the land down there. And I'll ask Mia the same thing, how she thinks that Kyle Shanahan views all three of those quarterbacks. I'm going to go a little different here. I think Kyle Shanahan thinks, and you referenced the Don Nelson angle and all this, that he thinks he could take anyone and mold them into the next best thing. I think Kyle Shanahan said, if I had Trevor Lawrence to start off his career, we might have a Super Bowl by now. Like, I think he thinks that highly of the skill and the prospect of Trevor. Now, would it have culminated that way? We'll never know. Right? And unless you go to a time machine, get to the DeLorean, we are never going to know how Trevor Lawrence would have looked in a stable situation, a stable organization, and one of the best offensive head coaches in the NFL. We'll never know that. But right now, given we've seen all these quarterbacks, I'm going to go Purdy, Jones, and then Lawrence.
So Lawrence is your one.
Yes, and this is how I think Kyle Shanahan views how he could be successful going forward. If he has all those quarterbacks to take, those three quarterbacks, how would I rank him? I'd be ranking it Purdy, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, which sounds insane. I know. I think Kyle just loves Mac Jones. I think he's loved him ever since Alabama. I think he thinks of him as the Kirk Cousins 2.0. I could mold this guy however I want. Now, I'm going to give Purdy the benefit of the doubt here because he's been so close of winning a title, and he does a little bit more of the intangibles. But there's something about Mac Jones. You're smiling right now.
Well, no, it's just funny that you. So, okay, let's play this out then a little. And again, we're just talking.
We're just talking.
Say he wins this week.
Ho-ho-ho.
And now you got the Rams on deck, and Purdy's still kind of,
it's within the window, Joe. They gave, Rap Sheet had the window. What was it? 2 to 5 weeks. So they gave himself,
right,
I'm just
so
saying.
So now you kind of think that there's like a, not a quarterback controversy brewing.
No.
Could there be, a reason why Kyle might want to stick with Mac longer than you would anticipate, you know, with Purdy coming back and being ready?
Absolutely. I think the reason that you keep Mac out there is so that Brock could get healthy. That's the only reason. Is that you don't believe.
You sound like you're contradicting yourself.
Why?
Well, because you're saying that you think that he likes Mac the most.
No. I said he likes Mac more than Trevor. Mac was number two. It was Purdy, Jones, Lawrence. I still think that all things being equal, if he could only pick one of those quarterbacks to go forward with, he's taking Brock Purdy.
I had it reversed. Okay.
My bad. I'll explain it. How does Kyle Shanahan view these three quarterbacks? I still think he thinks Purdy is the best of that bunch, but I would take Mac Jones over Lawrence in this discussion. I think he feels that strongly about Mac because he's loved him ever since the draft. And I think he knew he was never going to draft Trevor Lawrence, so he didn't really, probably didn't study up all that much on him because he's like, I'm not going to have this guy, whatever. But I do think it's a fun conversation to get into the psyche of Kyle Shanahan. And what he loves about quarterbacks is different than, you know, what Andy Reid might love or what Sean McVay might love or what Liam Cohen, who's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, what he loves in a quarterback. By the way, do you see last week when it was Cohen and Trevor yelling at each other and saying, just call my damn play, don't audible, all this stuff. I was like, Trevor, we don't audible Kyle Shanahan plays. I think that much we do know. So if Trevor was doing that, maybe that's already a negative in his column. Someone that wants to join this conversation is the Knight of Numbers, Alex in Atlanta. It's been a while. Alex, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast.
Hi, gentlemen. How's it going? It has been a while. First off, to answer your question out there, I think the way I would rank them out is I'd have Purdy at number one. I'd have Mac Jones at number two. I'd have Lawrence at number three, primarily because you guys talked about Kyle doesn't like a quarterback who's mistake-prone, makes bad decisions when throwing the ball. Lawrence has been pretty interception-prone since the start of his career. I mean, this year alone, he's already got four interceptions through three games. He's got 50 for his career. He tends to try to force the ball into places where he shouldn't be forcing it. As far as Mac Jones is concerned, Mac Jones fits the mold of a, you know, prototypical pocket passer, stays in the pocket, attacks the middle of the field, very similar to what Kyle liked from Jimmy Garoppolo when he initially brought him in. So that's why I'd rank him number two. And then Purdy, of course, is number one because you've been to a Super Bowl with Purdy. You've been on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. But looking ahead to this game against Jacksonville, look, I like that you guys were talking about injuries earlier, because there's no defensive coordinator I'd rather have right now with the way the injuries are for this team than Robert Saleh. Because I remember back in 2020 when Robert Saleh was the DC here still, and the Niners, despite all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball and missing Nick Bosa for pretty much the entire year that season as well, they were fifth in yards allowed. I mean, Robert Saleh is probably the best defensive coordinator in the league, in my opinion, at getting the most out of the pieces he has when it comes to generating pressure on the quarterback with just four guys and making sure you're in a bend, don't break sort of mentality. I think this weekend's going to be a real defensive battle in the trenches overall. I mean, Jacksonville, they're number one in the league in turnovers so far this season. Their run defense is tops in the league. They're a bit susceptible to the pass, so I expect the Niners to come out throwing to start the game to try to open up the run. But I can see where people think this might be a trap game for San Francisco, just considering how sneaky good the Jaguars' defense is.
Thank you, Alex, in Atlanta. That was Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5, said with us last hour that this could be a trap game for them. And it's hard for me to say something's a trap game when your team itself is already feel like it's under a trap when it comes to the injuries. So can you have a trap game when you don't have a lot of your best players?
We brought up the injuries. Carter and I were just talking, and I was like, well, didn't they fire the strength and conditioning coach a couple years ago? And then Carter went down a deep dive. Carter, what ended up happening from this deep dive on the 49ers medical?
So they have the same team doctor as of 2014 that's still to this day, but the medical staff has actually changed, and the head of the medical staff changed when Kyle Shanahan came in.
So that person's been here 8 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But it is just crazy. Like, it's crazy. They've been injured so much. I don't understand it. And it would be one thing if, like, they're middle of the pack in terms of injuries of the league. I mean, you're coming up on top five, it seems like, yearly.
We were joined earlier in the week by Dr. Nirav Pandya, UCSF Health. The guy lives and breathes all these soft tissue injuries, sports injuries, all of it. There's no one better and more knowledgeable than Dr. Nirav Pandya. And this is what he had to say with us, Joe, on the amount of 49ers injuries. And, you know, is it just bad luck or is there something more to it?
I think a lot of it does have to do with just bad luck. But, you know, look at what are factors we know that can cause someone to be injured. I think injury history coming out of high school and college, and Bosa had injuries when he was in high school. You talk about even the Trent Baalke era when we're, you know, drafting all these players that have prior injury history. So I think that's the most variable factor. We think of this as like, oh, you were injured in college and you're fine, but that carries risk with it. And I think the second thing we don't talk about as much is for West Coast teams, they do a lot of travel. That travel has an impact on your ability to recover. You're flying across the country. You're also playing on some fields that have turf. So I think all these soft factors do play a role as well, too. But I think the most important thing is injury history. And then if you actually do compare them to other teams, I know every year, first 2 weeks of the season, we're like, oh, the 49ers, everyone's getting soft tissue injuries. It's pretty consistent, you know, early on in the season. But I think where we see the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Difference is those big season-ending injuries, and for whatever reason, the 49ers do have more of that happening, but those are most of the time things you can't control. So I think it's just a little bit of bad luck, you know, heading into the season.
All right, so that's a scientist, essentially, a doctor.
He's a doctor. Studied this his whole life, yes.
And I know you're studying the science of medicine or whatever.
Correct.
You're practicing it.
Correct.
So this would sound ridiculous to him, but I'm going to throw this to you because you're not a doctor.
I'm not, no.
Okay.
Not even close.
I have friends that think the Niners are just cursed.
Oh, well.
Do you believe in curses when it comes to these types of things? Like sports stuff. I'm talking sports curses.
How could you not sometimes? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
The Cleveland Browns, and maybe it's just ineptitude sometimes.
No,
and
the then Jets mask are cursed. It.
The Jets might be. Like, it's the curse of Joe Namath after they said he made a deal with the devil or whatever, and they called
him. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. And they're never going to win again. They haven't even been to a Super Bowl since that. Like, I do understand as a fan base, but it's hard for me to say that when the Niners have actually won at a high level, like, in my lifetime.
But they haven't won the big one.
But they have.
So
they
have
five of them.
Okay.
There's some franchises that would kill for that history, Joe.
You're going to roll your eyes.
Cleveland Browns being one of them.
You're going to roll your eyes. I have friends that to this day believe that they're cursed since they left Candlestick.
I mean,
I'm just telling you. Almost like Bone Thugs and Harmony made a deal with the devil to be big. There's a group of my buddies who believe that the Niners made a deal with the Silicon Valley tech bros and they cursed the Niner franchise forever. I'm not saying I necessarily believe in it, but I'm not dismissing it either because I'm very superstitious. And as a sports, you know, fan, and even when I was participating as an athlete, like I do the weirdest like most bizarre superstitious stuff, because I do kind of believe in those weird things.
I do like some superstitious things. That is dumb, but I guess at the end of the day, like, it's the same thing if you believe in ghosts or not. Like, for me, like the ghost hunter stuff, like, no. Like, bad organizations will be bad because of the decisions they make. The Niners are not a bad organization. They are not. They are one of the class organizations currently of the NFL. I don't even think that is a hot take. Have they gotten hosed at times because of injuries and it sucks? Yeah. That's really bad and hard to not just point to, we're cursed. Whereas science and the medical professional, the Dr. Nirav Pandyas, and I choose to believe in guys like that in an era where it's a hot take to believe in science, like, Dr. Ronald Pondy is telling me, yeah, well, Nick Bosa had injuries in high school, and you can point to that. Ricky Pearsall has had injuries through college. Herm Edwards told us about that. Coached him in college at Arizona State. He's had injury history there. So we could point to that and say, no, there's a history, no, there's science.
No, but suspend that. Just,
I can't, though, because
you don't believe a little in a curse?
Like, what are the top curses right now?
Well, a little B on Kevin Durant, right? Little B put the curse on KD and then lifted the curse.
Okay.
And then put it back on him. Tell me I'm wrong.
And are you putting that, so Fred VanVleet tearing his ACL now that Kevin Durant's on the team? Is that what we're saying now?
I believe
they're cursed because KD's a rocket.
God.
Oh my God. Dre and Lamore, talk some sense into these people. What's up, Dre?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Butcher Boy, you're right on point. I remember when they first opened up the stadium in Santa Clara, you weren't working for 95.7, but you would call D. Bruce from time to time and really complain about that stadium and the weather and the sun in your face. And I even when they're winning, I mean, you're out there, and it's just, it's unbearable. When they're winning, and things are a lot more bearable. But I just do not understand that. And the other thing that I've really, really, really pissed me off, it's just not the Niners, it's concert venues and everything else. But I have plenty of fond memories looking through my old ticket stubs. They were embossed. They looked bad. Patrick Willis knocking the snot out of somebody. After the first year, they took away our hard tickets. Sell it to somebody where they can't even see it and it's on their phone. They look at me like, what are you trying to sell me? You know, and I go through my old stuff, and it was great. They took away Christmas Day. That was a Christmas Day for me when I would come before the season started, and you would fold through all those tickets. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. The NFL makes too much money. The Niners make too much money for them to continue to make us go with, you know, a phone app to get in the stadium. Give us back our tickets and shade that stadium.
Thanks, Dre. I mean, that's everywhere, though. No one does printed tickets anymore. Everything's on our phone. I get the nostalgia factor. It's fun to have the hard paper ticket. You're longing for a different time.
It makes it entering and exiting the stadium actually is more difficult now because you got to load the app. You got to pull it up. You got to, like, I'm being real. Like, I do this every single week when I go to games, and I'm like, God, It like some places that have good Wi-Fi, like, for example, Chase Center, boom, you hit it, you come through. The old physical ticket was way quicker, way easier. It just was.
We're not going back to that.
No, I know we're not.
Let's
save
the trees. We don't need to do that anymore.
No, it's about expense cutting, and it's not about carbon footprint.
But we can.
It's about expense cutting. Who are we kidding?
What are we talking about? It's also part of it now. You get carbon footprint. Like, we're in the Bay Area. We don't need to be wasting paper.
Okay, let me tell you this. No. For a couple grand a year from my season tickets, okay, you can upgrade the wedding invitation from an Evite. All right, doggy? That's all I'm saying.
You're not going to be George Costanza? You're not going to have the old envelopes?
Because this is what happens. Not only do you have to show the ticket from your phone at the gate, then you got to go into the season ticket holder line to get your food, and you got to show the ticket there. Then you got to, you're holding all these things, and then you're going back to your seat. All right, I'm trying to get my son, like, come on, let's go. We're going to go this way. And I'm, like, holding 15 different items, and they're like, can I see your ticket to sit in your seat? She's like, dude, no one's sitting in the nosebleeds. No one's trying to sneak into my seats here. All right, dude. I sit right there every single week. You got to show your ticket again and you got to pull it up out of your phone. And it is a pain in the neck. And I used to like having the lanyard around the neck where you just flash it. That's it. Just in and out.
You can now if you're media. Just go to be Mr. Media Guy. You can get your ticket that way. By the way, Dub Nation, preseason is right around the corner, and 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 on Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special you won't want to miss. Live appearances from Warriors favorites such as Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. A king's tale indeed. Plus your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host Austin Reeves and the Lakers. If that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season is almost here. On your station for everything Warriors, 95.7 The Game. And on the other side, we're going to talk red and gold some more, brought to you by California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. And you know what, Joe? I know you're not quite believing in this team yet. What would have Shasky jumping all in on this team? What are the steps that need to be taken for you to jump all in on this season for the 49ers? You're going to answer that on the other side. And it's the Morning Roast, baby, on 95.7 The Game.
Texts, voicemail, and contacts all in one place so that you can deliver a seamless customer experience from ring to... Need to take calls on the go? Quo automatically transcribes, summarizes, and highlights next steps from every call, so you never miss a detail. Need insight into what closes a sale? With Quo's AI call tags, you can instantly spot key topics like objections or pricing questions and use those insights to level up every customer interaction. And yes, you can bring your existing number with you for free. Keep your team in sync and your customers happy with Quo. Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's quo.com/sports. quo.com/sports.
Red and Gold game day starts at Laughing Monk Brewing. Park for free. Enjoy amazing food, ice cold beer, and every game on TV. Catch 95.7 The Game's pregame show. Then hop on the free shuttle straight to the stadium. Sign up now at 95.7thegame.com.
Straight Talk presents The Math of More. Here's how it works. When you say yes to more with Straight Talk, you're left with more for all the other good stuff. So getting an unlimited plan starting at just $25 a month equals more savings for your family's weekend adventures. And with a network covered by Verizon, you can share more from wherever you go. It's simple math, really. More equals more with Straight Talk. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Taxes and fees apply. The $25 plan requires a compatible unlocked device and a new line of service. Additional terms apply.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Welcome to Dugout Radio, the undisputed home of Boomtown Baseball.
The Wi-Fi is booming with Xfinity, baby. Our next filler is...
Stacy, how do you stay locked in on every pitch and play?
We stream it all live on Xfinity Internet with low lag, 99.99% network reliability, and speeds faster than a base runner beating the throw to home plate.
I stream on my TV, tablets, even my smart fridge.
Smart fridge?
With all those games, we gotta refuel.
Stream live baseball with Wi-Fi built for the biggest moments. Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary, not guaranteed.
Join Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale every red and gold home game this season for our special live pregame broadcast. Plus, we'll have tailgate games, prizes, great food, and drink specials. For more information, visit 957thegame.com.
Now back to the Morning Roast.
A lot of people waste their hate. They cheer when they're drinking the beer. I want you to keep that same energy when we win that chip this year.
With Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's science.
Absolutely is. By the way, I like what you're doing here with this rejoin. Cyclone? Iowa State, Brock Purdy. All right, maybe he's got a chance. Limited in practice yesterday. This is Brock Purdy's theme going forward, by the way.
I think his theme starts with, like, Morgan Wallen or, you know, Stapleton or something.
I don't know about that guy, Morgan Wallen.
What's wrong with Morgan Wallen?
I'm looking to that past. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
888-957-9570. By the way.
Wait, now I want to. You piqued my interest here. Did he do something wrong? What did Morgan Wallen do?
Yeah, did something wrong. I'd say he said a word that you're not supposed to say as a white person.
Oh, he did? Yeah. I didn't even know this. I don't.
You never go Riley Cooper. We'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
When did that happen?
You got to look it up. By the way, this Sunday, we're coming back to Laugh Among Brewing in Sunnyvale, baby. That's what I want to talk about for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts at 10 a.m. with E-Dog, Evan Giddings, and Lolo, Lorenzo Neal. All the early games are going to be there for you to watch. Plus, if you are going to the game, check this out, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's right. It is free. Park at Laughing Monk, join the party, and then take the shuttle to and from the stadium. All you have to do to sign up and reserve a spot is go to 95centthegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. See you there. I'm going to see you there, Joe. Laughing Monk Brewing. Are you going to be at the game this week, by the way?
No. I got some stuff that I got to take care of and can't in the morning. And so I gave them to young Jay McHale and his father.
Nice.
Kid I used to coach. Great kid. Great athlete.
Awesome.
Good baller. Him and his dad, James. They're great people.
Trevor Lawrence versus Mac Jones, potentially.
All right. So I'm looking at Morgan Wallen here just for a split second. You guys, I went down the timeline. This guy's had a lot of things happen to him.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean.
This is great.
Kicked out of Kid Rock's bar and arrested.
Oh, that's, you know what? That might be a positive.
Kind of hard to do.
Okay.
It's actually.
Filmed partying without a mask during lockdown.
Oh, no, you can't do that. Hey, Justin Turner. There you go.
Okay. Then he's got a mullet here, and it says SNL appearance is canceled. Drops out of a headline festival in Georgia.
Oh, you can't do that. I'm wearing a Georgia shirt right now.
Jokes about breaking COVID-19 restrictions during an SNL skit. I mean, who didn't break those rules? Caught on video using the N-word. Okay, I think I found it.
There you go. It was only the didn't eighth know thing. That. There you go.
I didn't know that.
Shout out. Yeah. Let's, Morgan Wall. I don't know how we, there you go. So, yeah, the more you know, Joe.
Well, I think.
Oh, actually, this actually brings a conversation that I think we're going to discuss. It's actually in the rundown, so I know where you're going. Go.
Yeah. Well, like, DeMarcus Robinson's coming back this week, and, you know, he's suspended for a reason. What exactly are the reasons why he was suspended?
DUI.
Which is a very serious thing.
Yes.
And I don't take lightly. I also understand, as someone who's been given multiple chances in life and has tried to make amends for them, I always allow people the opportunity to not be judged by their worst moment. Now, are there certain moments that are so bad that I almost can't, you know, look the other way? Sure. And I'm not going to list them all. You can use them in your imagination. If you're a repeat offender or someone who's been accused of not one, not two, but like 23 acts of egregious behavior like Deshaun Watson, that's pretty comprehensive, you know? So I always struggle with these things. So like DeMarcus Robinson's coming back and, you know, a DUI is a bad thing, right? Like we all would acknowledge. I don't know if he's remorseful, you know, I think he's been, you know, earned the benefit of the doubt. We all earn some level of, I guess, grace to make mistakes and learn from them and come back. And so I'm willing to give him an open opportunity. I can't look inside of his heart. I also can't tell you what he said about said suspension and, you know, if he's learned from it or not. And time will tell. You know, my dad struggled with addiction for a long time and he was good and then he wasn't good and then he fell off and then he was good again. And so like everyone has their own path in life. But I know, like, for example, like Tyreek Hill, and I've looked at his like history and all the different things that he's been accused of. And I just don't think he's a good dude. And I don't know if I could root for him on my team.
Mm.
In fact, I feel like I couldn't root for him if he was on my team. And maybe I'm like pearl clutching to a degree, but I, again, I'm trying to give you some leeway here. I don't know what the line is for each individual on, you know, who do you root for and where do you draw the line and you don't root for them.
And to not try to be too cynical about this conversation, but it's hard not to be. It's almost always, when it comes to the majority of the fan base, it's talent versus tolerance. Almost always. So, like, if you're very talented, like, for example, Antonio Brown. There you go. Just you say the name, there's a lot there. Whether it's the Raiders, the Steelers, the Bucks, the Patriots, all of it. There was talent versus tolerance. And it got to a point where, and I know he ended up quitting on the team and taking off his pads and everything and waving goodbye. And now I guess he's there's a warrant out for his arrest still. He's in the Middle East. I don't know what he's doing. But there was a talent versus tolerance conversation. And it got to the point where everyone's just like, yeah, I can't root for that guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He had so many things that at some point you kind of drew the line.
Correct. And that was probably the most latest example of a guy that is just it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
I remember not caring when I was in my 20s and when I was a teenager. I remember not caring about what anyone did anywhere.
Right.
And, like, I remember the exact moment for me where it switched. And look, as you get older, your perspectives change. Your understanding of life changes. And Ray McDonald was accused of some stuff that was pretty serious. And I don't even remember whether it ended up going to trial and he got convicted or not. I'm not even sure. I just remember he was accused. And I didn't know what the Niners should do. You know, hey, he's been accused of something very serious here, but he hasn't been tried. Do you take him off the field? You know, do you suspend him? Like, what do you do in these situations? And I remember he got to play. And he made a tackle, and my nieces were very young. They're like, I don't know, 6 or 7. They, like, jumped up in the living room. We were all watching the game. They're like, yes, great tackle. And I was like, I don't know how comfortable I feel about that.
Yeah.
Now, if I was in a room full of dudes and I was in my 20s, like, I would probably have had a different perspective. But, like, being in the room with kids, it was like, And now, look, do I want any of these guys to be a role model for my children? No, not necessarily. I do wish they would all be Steph Curry, but I know that that's ridiculous. Well, they're not all going to be choir boys. And that's ridiculous.
And that's why I always appreciated.
Nor is any of my family members.
Right, and that's why I always appreciated, and it's a good point. I'm glad you're open up about that. It's a very, you know, interesting story because when you're watching these things with your kids, it's very difficult. A kid doesn't know, like, all, like, if you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they're just celebrating the play, not the person. You're
they don't even know.
They don't know who that is. Like,
but it made me cringe.
Right. I always loved when Charles Barkley said, "Hey, I'm not your role model. Like, don't look up to me.
You're not.
If you're a kid." But, like, I understand you guys
kinda are.
Well, but he's telling you flat out, "Hey, parents, don't do that. Tell your kid, hey, it's great that they're really good at the sport, but let's look up to, you know." I don't know. Dr. Nirav Pondia.
Well,
great. He's my role model for my kid. A guy that has worked hard, went to school, did it all the right way. A family man. Great. Stuff like that.
But even his child, is not looking at, like, today I could say my dad was my hero. And I've heard Tom Brady talk about this, but there were many, many points in my life where sports heroes were my heroes, way more so than my own father. Now, again, as I got older and I had a lot of great people in my life, my grandfather, my uncles and stuff, you know, my perspective changed, you know, but I'd be lying if I didn't say that I had a lot of sports heroes growing up. So I guess where I'm going with this is, as everyone's listening to this, it's like, hey, DeMarcus Robinson's come back, and we need him. And I want him to come back, and the Niners desperately need him to be on the field. And this isn't about him. I don't know. I'm assuming he is remorseful. Just as a sports fan, where do you draw the line on some of the behavior and things that people get accused of? I watched the Chiefs 2 weeks ago walk onto the field, and they were saying, "Free Rashee Rice" on these T-shirts. And I was like, guys.
Yikes.
Guys, this guy got in a major accident and ran away from the scene.
Left the victims, again, victims in this.
Read the room. Had that been someone's family, that, you know, like, wow. Like,
and again, this is coming.
And again, I'm not trying to judge him by his worst moment, but let's also have the perspective of what he did was really dumb.
It's really hard not to try to compartmentalize everything that's going on with all these different, you know, receivers, athletes, whatever, with especially the speeding aspect. When just a couple of years ago, we brought the guy's name up, when Henry Ruggs, like that whole situation that happened and killed a woman and her dog, and he's in prison for it, and we, like, Drunk driving right there.
But you
and
know what?
No, I keep seeing it every single year. Jordan Addison's coming back this week. Same thing with the Minnesota Vikings. And it's like, DeMarcus Robinson, it wasn't just one. It was twice, two times in a calendar year, Joe.
I know.
Like, this happened back in January, and then last year, early February, it happened.
Like society, these athletes actually have a better citizenship rate in terms of not...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Committing crimes percentage-wise, athletes, pro athletes do than normal society, okay? That being said, like people in your family, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to do things and they're going to do it over and over and over again. And, you know, everybody's got to draw the line somewhere. I'm dealing with some stuff behind the scenes and it's just, there's a lot, right? You're trying to balance all these things out. I don't know. Like Henry Ruggs, I've seen him talk a few times. Look, can I judge what's in his heart? I don't know. But I truly believe that he has understood what he did. It was one of the worst things ever, like ever. And he has now gone away. He is going to serve his time at some point. Maybe an NFL team picks him up. And I think it's up to the individual to determine what their algorithm is on whether they want to root for him or not. You know, and I guess then it becomes like, well, do you believe him? Do you think he's remorseful? Has he learned? And like, I always struggle with these things.
And there's always the situations where who was my guy in Baylor that was supposed to be a high draft pick or first couple rounds. Sean Oakman, I believe, Baylor, who gets a false accusation against him that they have proved to be false, sexual assault, ruined his draft stock. It damn near ruined his career, probably. The person came out and they said they were lying about the whole thing. But once you say it, that's the stain. No matter what, someone's going to view, you're going to search his name and say about Sean Oakman, and you can't take it back. And there's legit ones too. That goes the other way. There are like accusations that never get followed up upon, and I feel bad for the victim. I feel horrible for them. And then that person gets to walk away scot-free. So it's a double-edged sword always. And it's an interesting conversation to talk about where we draw the line with how we root for players, because I do believe it's different for each individual. But there are some things that I'm going to be honest. Yeah, sexual assault, domestic violence, harming people. Like when you hurt other people, that's where I have a very hard time, you know, just ever wanting to root for that person. I like DeMarcus Robinson, I think early on, like in college, it was like for like smoking weed.
I don't put that.
I think we've gone as a society.
What teenager hasn't smoked weed?
Exactly. I think we've moved on a little bit.
I'm not trying to virtue signal. Like right. Jalen Carter fell in the draft because he was a part of a vehicle that ran someone off the road and someone got seriously injured. You know, like that's why he fell. They died. Yeah, exactly. So now and again, I don't know what his particular involvement was in that. But during the broadcast the other night, Chris Collinsworth, I think it was Sunday Night Football, they were talking about the Tyreek Hill. Maybe it was Amazon Prime.
No, it was Kaylee Hartung, who's the sideline reporter for Amazon Prime. We got Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels last
week.
And
they were just listing all these accusations for Tyreek Hill, and everyone lost their minds.
Well, they came back into it was the start of the fourth quarter, and it was literally just panning to Tyreek Hill. It's all you saw on the TV. And then Kaylee Hartung just listing all the allegations against him, just listing everything.
Yeah.
It was like, but... that's part of the conversation, almost like you kind of have to relay that. It's part of the whole thing because he might get suspended, Joe.
I can't even look at Deshaun Watson.
Yep. There you go.
Like, I just can't. Like, the Justin Tucker stuff is...
And that's why I have a hard time, as we're talking about curses, too, in sports. No, you're not cursed. Your owner just made a stupid decision giving a guy like that $200+ million guaranteed.
So bad.
No, that's a dumb organizational move. You're not cursed. You're just stupid. Like, sometimes I just have to say, like, you're just stupid. That's what, who's my guy? Jimmy Haslam. Stupid. Sorry. It's a stupid decision. You draft a guy in Baker Mayfield, top five overall. He's a first round pick. Was he the first overall pick?
Baker was number one.
Number one. He was first overall pick.
So,
and he wins a game for you. The Cleveland Browns, a playoff game against the division rival Steelers. And you're too good for him because he has a down year.
It's just insane.
That's why you're not cursed. You're just dumb.
When you're in the public realm like they are, like if you were the CEO of Apple and something horrific happened, they would be in the public eye. And, you know, because you're a front-facing individual representing that company has, you know, their points of view on whether they want to keep you around or not. Like, remember that CEO that got caught cheating on his
wife? Yeah, the Coldplay concert. But you know what? That's like a domestic issue between him and the family. He hurt emotionally his family there.
No doubt.
He didn't do anything malicious.
No, but he was representing the bigger company, and it's a bad look for the company. So anyway,
and he had to deal with the ramifications of that.
I know this isn't normal sports talk. I'm just asking people if there is a line for them, or do they just only care about winning? Or is there somewhere in between? Because I feel like I jump through mental gymnastics just to justify rooting for someone that I might like or that might help my team more so than I would on another team.
Well, I know because when we were the flagship of this team and they were here, obviously, the Oakland Raiders, and Mark Davis has a zero tolerance policy. If you were linked to any domestic violence in the past, as you know, or if you're arrested for it or convicted of it, he has a zero tolerance. The Raiders aren't signing you. And that goes to Fred Biletnikoff and what his family dealt with and all of it. So he is very anti. And I know it was a big deal when the Raiders drafted in the first round. Remember this? Gary and Conley, once upon a time, who ended up being acquitted of everything, was found not guilty. And it was, you know what? Good. I'm glad that he was able to move past that. But it was still an awkward thing. I was like, do I cheer? Like, if I'm a fan of that team, like, do you root for that? I was like,
I don't know.
Yay, no, what? Like, one for me that I was never could root for a guy like this because of all the, it was on film and everything. Like, Greg Hardy, oh my God. Like, that guy, the amount of fans that said, oh, but, you know, I was like, no. Never root, and I always rooted for against him in the UFC, and I'm glad he got his ass kicked multiple times. Yeah, I'm reading your mind, Carter. Like, that's a guy I would never, ever root for.
I mean, I remember Leonard Little got in a DUI and accidentally killed someone and played against the Niners that weekend. It was like, wow, what are we doing? Maybe just take the weekend off.
Right. By the way, here we go. June 4th, oh, my birthday, 2025, Greg Hardy was reported that was arrested for allegedly assaulting a family member. Jeez. Specifically, the records show he was booked on a charge of assault cases, bodily injury, family member. Yikes. There you go.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, people like that, I guess, is my answer, Joe.
But, I struggle with, you want to give someone a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. You want to give them benefit of the doubt of, forget the word rehabilitation, because that acts like everyone goes to jail and, you know, goes through some sort of thing. But, like, people can change, people can get better, and they can repent for a mistake. Like, I believe in those things. But there are also other things where I'm like, all right, now we've got a CVS list of issues, and now here's where I draw the line.
It's funny that we started this conversation earlier with Urban Meyer, right? Because that's a guy I think ruined his chance. And if he ever wanted to go back to coaching in the NFL anyways,
he's done.
He burned all the bridges. Sure. He did everything the wrong way. Zero accountability at times. It was awful. Awful. And as we're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars coming into town this week, Joe, you know, Trevor Lawrence could not have been dumped into a worse position. Not only was Urban Meyer's head coach, Joe, Trent Baalke was his GM. And
Trent stayed as long as he did and got a second job.
Oh, unbelievable. He almost survived this past year. Remember that? And then finally, Shad Khan, the owner, is like, okay, we got a clean house here. Liam Cohen, he bring in his own guy, offensive coordinator for the Bucs. Now he's the head coach. And we'll see. But it is interesting comparing these two franchises and what could have been with Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick. if he was in the situation that Brock Purdy was in and he had stability around him, and Brock Purdy being the last pick in the NFL draft and the success that he has had over a guy like Trevor Lawrence. It's just interesting to compare the two.
Kevin O'Connell was speaking at length about this a couple months back. This is before the season started. And he was like, there are way more organizations that fail players than players fail organizations. And I was like, damn. And then I started like thinking about it, and I was like, he might be right. You know, like, for example,
I agree.
Everyone talks about like the quarterback position, right? But like, let's say you're Bryce Huff. They change the scheme. Yeah. He doesn't fit the 3-4. That's not a knock on Bryce Huff. He's still a solid player. He didn't fit. And they won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
He does fit Robert Saleh's scheme, right? How many guys around the league didn't get a chance because of scheme fit or whatever, and they drafted him or invested in him, and it for whatever reason didn't work out, and were forces outside of just his isolated play?
Absolutely. All the time. Hell, if Stephen Curry gets drafted to another organization, if he gets drafted to the New York Knicks, where he wanted to go, right? If he gets drafted to the Knicks, is he the same player? I still think he's really good. I still think he has Hall of Fame talent.
It's funny that you say that. Like, let's remember what the Warriors were when he got here.
No, I know. I know. But I'm just talking, situations matter.
Keith Smart was the coach.
I know, but ownership, though, Joe, too.
Yeah, it was a totally
James
different
Dolan
color.
Is one of the worst.
No doubt. But I'm saying, like, that's what makes the Curry thing even more incredible is he did it with Cohen.
I know.
Originally.
And then Joe Lacob take it. Like, situations and organizational stability also matters, as I'm alluding to Trevor Lawrence in this. Like, the fact that Steph was able to resurrect that franchise does not get talked about enough. The fact that LeBron James resurrected the Cleveland Cavaliers, brought that city its first championship in forever. Like,
well, that's why I view Josh Allen so high.
There you go.
Because I feel like the Bills for 25 years were wandering in the desert.
Right. Irrelevant.
They really were.
They were just mid, just to be like, man, like the Bills are the Bills. Like,
garbage. And the fact that he's done so much. I mean, again, that's just my particular opinion. It's why you're talking about Baker. I got a lot of respect for Baker.
I love Baker. He can be my quarterback. I will root for him any day of the week. Another guy who actually got a second chance, too. Yeah. Right? He was a knucklehead.
And he's really...
Ran away from the cops. It was on tape.
But he's also like admitted that he was super arrogant and maybe didn't put in the right work and didn't have the right perspective and attitude. I think Bryce Harper has been this way, too. I think Bryce Harper's changed a lot over the years. I'm just going across sports. Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys that you can point to that have had that evolution.
Hey, Joe, we got a Jaguars fan on the line. Do you want to talk to a Jaguars fan? Have you ever met one in your life?
I'm trying to think. No.
Mac Jones, we know he was one. He grew up in Jacksonville, Florida.
I don't really know
there.
A lot of Floridians.
You don't?
No.
Oh, interesting. Well, Taylor.
Matt Lively.
Matt Lively's from Florida, but he's more of a Tampa guy, right? I'm pretty sure he is. He's not cut from the same cloth as the Jacksonville folk. Taylor and Richmond.
Leonard Skinner is from Jacksonville.
Leonard?
Yeah, it's their old gym teacher.
Your old friend, Leonard Skinner?
Freebird! Taylor, what's up? You're on the Morning Roast. How are we feeling about the Jags this year?
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me, guys?
I can.
Okay, nice. Wasn't sure if I had to do anything different. Never called into a radio show before. Yeah, so Jaguar fan, not from Jacksonville, though. I'm actually from California, not the Bay. But I've been living out here for like the last 4 years and really enjoy listening to you guys' show during football season. How am I feeling about the Jags? Cautiously optimistic. I think we're pretty lucky getting you guys with a little banged up with Kittle and Bosa out. I think we'd be in pretty deep trouble with those two guys on the field. But our defense has looked great. We've only trailed for 18 seconds this year. It was an important 18 seconds. But team's looking pretty good. Hopefully our receivers can catch the ball. If they do, then our offense will be looking pretty decent as well, I think.
I'm going to ask you the same question. Who are you taking, Purdy, Mac, or Trevor Lawrence? You, not the coaches.
Me? I'm taking Trevor Lawrence. And I think the conversation you guys had earlier, just a little bit ago about situation, that matters a lot. Of those three guys, Trevor is the most talented quarterback in terms of physical traits. Purdy's probably got some pretty great intangibles, smart dude, works well in the Shanahan system. But if you put Trevor Lawrence in Brock Purdy's situation in Shanahan's offense, not having to go through Urban Meyer, that whole debacle, some of the worst offensive lines in football. I think the conversation around him is a lot different, and he's probably a little bit closer to living up to the hype that he had coming out of college. But talking about curses as well, Jaguars have got to be one of those organizations, because we've had some pretty poor luck, which I think stems from ownership. But now that Shad Khan's kind of taken his a step back off the trying to be involved in the football operations, or at least having his family involved in them, I think this new head coach and new coaching staff they've got, with Tony Boselli running more of the football things for the Jaguars, is we're pointed in the right direction. We'll see how it goes, though.
Wait, Taylor, real quick before you go, and I appreciate your thoughts as a Jaguars fan. How did you become a Jags fan
Mark
in California?
Brunel. Fred Taylor.
So I grew up in Bakersfield, so I was like right in between the L.A. and the Bay Area teams. And I was probably like 5 years old when the Jaguars and Panthers became a team.
Yeah.
And five-year-old brain, I did not like any of the mascots of the California teams. My dad was from Houston, so I didn't like the Houston Oilers mascot either. They didn't have a real one. Yeah. So I just remember my dad putting the sports page in front of me one day when I was a kid, and there's the Jaguar and Panthers helmet, and he just said, hey, pick one of these teams. If you don't like any of the other ones, then you can say you've been a fan for life. And I like the Jaguar cap more, and little did I know it was going to be one of the worst decisions I've ever made.
Thanks, Taylor and Richard. No, that's a funny story, because one of my childhood friends named Brandon, his dad was a Pirates fan always growing up, and I just assumed he was from, like, Pittsburgh, right? It's like, oh, okay, Pirates, like, and I was like, oh, so, like, you grew up in Pittsburgh? Like, as we got older, he's like, no, I just liked Pirates as a kid. So that was my team. I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, I pretended to be a Pirate as a kid, and I was like, that's my team.
LJ is going to be a Toronto Raptor fan?
He's pretending to be a Raptor. What is that?
He's obsessed with dinosaurs.
The dad and stepbrothers, he's like, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a dinosaur. I was like, Dad, you can never be a dinosaur. He's like, eh. Don't lose your dinosaur, kids. I love that. I love that. He wants to be a Raptor, a Velociraptor. But being a Pirate, poor guy. He's never going to know success ever in his life.
In fairness, he might have seen it. I have to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to be the side.
No, I have to get out, like, now. Like,
right,
now.
Right now?
No, now. I need $300 million now before my arm falls off.
They got great jerseys, though, I'll say that.
No, they have great uniforms, but I need mine. And I need to get out of there now.
Like Garrett Cole? Like, he got out of there and he got that money from the Yankees.
He needs to leave now. He had a 1.97 ERA.
You'd love Paul Skeens.
Oh, my God. Every team in baseball would love him.
In a Giants uniform? Can you imagine that?
Oh, God. That would be the trade. Oh.
Yeah. What would you give up? You give up Eldridge for Skeens? Straight up?
I would.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Even though I love Eldridge, like, Skeens is next level. And it literally saw.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.